This is the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray, episode 128.
Welcome to the Soulful PR Podcast. Tune in every week for practical tips, strategies, and case studies that will help you get media coverage for your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello, and welcome to the show. Well, back in episode 126, I talked about why you should consider having a Facebook group to grow your business. And this is part two of that podcast series. And in this episode, I'm going to be looking at how you can actually get more people into your Facebook group and get them more engaged. But before we get to the main part of the show, I just wanted to mention an event that I've got coming up in London on February the 23rd, so that's 2017 if you're listening in the future. Now, this is my Soulful Marketing event, and it's a one-day event for business owners who are looking for ways to promote their businesses in ways that feel really good, in ways that don't feel spammy and selly. So we're going to be looking at how to create regular content that draws people to you rather than you feeling that you have to go out there and sell to them. We're going to be looking at how to build your email list and how to write emails that people actually look forward to reading. We're going to look at how to be everywhere on social media without being constantly plugged into your phone and also without looking like you have a massive big ego, which is something that I know that a lot of the women that I work with fear. So if you'd like to get all of your marketing sorted for 2017, then this is a great event for you to come along to. I'd love to meet you there. I'll put a link in the show notes. And if you have any questions, just drop me a line. I'm not into getting bums on seats. So I'd much rather, I will tell you straight if the event's not right for you. So drop me a line on janet@janetmurray.co.uk with any questions that you might have. And now on with the main part of the show. So in episode 126, I talked about why it's a good idea to start a Facebook group or to grow the one that you have. So in this episode, I want to talk much more about how you can get more people into your Facebook group and how you can keep them with you and keep them really engaged. And I'm going to share many of the strategies that I've used to grow my Facebook group from, I think, about 7 or 8 months ago, it was about 700. And now it's over 5,500. So the first thing I want to say to you is that if you're really serious about growing your Facebook group, you are going to have to hustle. And when you first open that Facebook group or you first make a decision you want to grow it, you are going to have to get everybody in you possibly can to make that group work. And I promise you, anyone who's ever started a Facebook group has probably been through the experience that I'm going to describe now, which is persuading your friends, your colleagues, your mum, your dad, your auntie, your sister, anybody you can possibly get into the group to make it look busy and bribing them. So just stay in it for a couple of weeks or whatever. So whatever you need to do to get people in the group and to get conversation going, you're going to have to do that. Because I think when people get into a Facebook group, they make a decision quite quickly about whether they think it's going to be valuable to them. So when people come into your group, you want to see conversation going. You want to people to see that this is a place where they can get really helpful resources. So it's important. It's not really about the size. It's about the engagement. So when people come into the group, it's really important you've got conversation going on and interaction. And I can promise you that takes everybody a lot of hustle to start with. And when I interviewed Jill Stanton from Screw the 9 to 5 back in episode 33, I remember her saying that she spent hours in the Facebook group to start. But gradually, as time passed, that got less and less. And that's certainly been the case for me. So just accept that you're going to have to spend time. You're going to have to hustle. You're going to have to persuade people to join it. And a good place to start is going back to your current clients or your previous clients and inviting them to come along, and colleagues and friends, just basically anybody who you think might get value from being in your group, invite them. So some of the ways that you might invite them, obviously, is to email them. So if you've got an email list, then email your list and tell them about it. I think it's a good idea as well, if you're starting off from scratch, to send personal emails. So you can create a template and you can just tweak it slightly so that it's individual. But I think getting an individual email from somebody saying, I've just started this Facebook group, I really think it could be valuable for you, is much better than sending a round robin, particularly when you're just starting out. And one thing I would say is to really focus on the value that your participants will get. It's very tempting when you're starting out something like this to fire off an email saying, oh, I'm starting a Facebook group and it's going to be really great. And I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I'm doing the other. Actually, what's much more effective is to say, I've started this Facebook group or I've decided to grow my Facebook group. And this is the value that you will get by being part of it. Now, when you've only got small numbers, you may think, well, I don't have much to offer, but actually you've got your time and your expertise. So you can say to people, I'll be in there every day answering your questions on whatever it is that you specialize in, or I'm going to do a Facebook Live every week, or I'm going to be sharing resources in there. Whatever it is, really focus on the value that you can add to the people who take part, because we're all busy and we're all swamped with requests to join various groups and communities. So make sure that people know that you're going to make it worth their while. The other thing that I found really useful is to signpost people to my Facebook community. And I made a decision, and I was totally inspired by Jill Stanton, who I interviewed back in episode 33, just to signpost everybody to my Facebook group. Because for me, in terms of how I work and what I'm good at, I think I'm good at building relationships with people in the group and answering their questions. And I would much rather sort of nurture people in there, get to know them before I even think of trying to get them interested in my paid products or services. So it really seemed to make sense to me to channel everybody there and for me to build relationships there. So I got my designer to make up some headers, some covers for my Facebook account. So we've did that on my page. We also did it on my personal page and also on Twitter as well. We made a cover for that. And basically anywhere I am online, you'll probably find that there is some kind of image or some link that goes through to my Facebook community. And that's really, really worked for me, because obviously when people find you on Twitter, for example, they look you up, they have a look at your biog, they have a look at your cover. And if you're clearly pointing them to your Facebook community, then I really think it's important that when you're dealing with people online, that you're only ever really giving people one call to action. So I made a very conscious decision that my one call to action was going to be sending people to my Facebook community. So for a while, I did that in my Twitter biog, but also in my cover, on my Facebook page, on my personal Facebook account. So everything was focused on building this community. And I have to say, it's probably one of the best decisions that I ever, ever made. The other thing is, if you're already creating regular content on a blog or a podcast or a vlog, then obviously that's a great place for you to mention your Facebook community. You've probably noticed, if you're a regular listener, that at the end of every podcast episode, I say, and if you'd like to come along and join us in the Facebook community, please do. And I tell people where to find us. And obviously it's difficult to measure, but I think if you know that you're making a concerted effort to signpost people in every single place possible, then you can't really fail to get people coming along. And one of the things, I mentioned this back in episode 126, one of the things I did when I first started the group was I greeted every single person personally when they came into the group and asked them how they found us. And I was getting to find out there. It wasn't scientific. It wasn't kind of hard data, but some people would say Facebook, some people would say Twitter, some people would say a friend told me about it. And I was getting quite a good picture just from those conversations as to what was working the best. And clearly I could see that just signposting everywhere was the way to go. And the other thing to mention, if you don't have a budget for a designer to do a fancy Facebook cover, then you can use a resource like Canva or PicMonkey or something like that and make something perfectly nice. And it looks nice and professional as well. If you keep it in with your brand, that's your brand colours that are on your website and your brand style, then it looks really nice as well. It's a consistent style that carries through all of your online resources. So the other thing you can do as well is ask people to refer. So you can email out your current clients or your previous clients and say, look, I've started this Facebook group. Can you do me a favor? Is there one person that you think would really benefit from being in my group? You can even offer incentives or prizes. You could say I'm doing a book giveaway or something like that. But referrals are always good, because people would generally, if a friend says to them, this is a really great group, you should be in it, then people will generally act on that. So that's a really good thing to do. So once you've got all your strategy in place for building, and I would say be kind to yourself here, it may well take you a while. I didn't build my audience overnight. It's taken me 7 or 8 months. And I also used Facebook advertising. This has only been in the last few months, but as I've been doing more Facebook advertising, getting people to opt in for cheat sheets and webinars and that kind of thing, One thing that I did was when people got their cheat sheet or they got their webinar registration, I do this all the time actually. I say to them, looking forward to seeing you in the webinar, or here's your cheat sheet. And in the meantime, you might like to join my free Facebook community because you'll get more PR tips and strategies in there. And I'd say that most of the people who sign up for a free resource or sign up to take part in a webinar will end up in the Facebook group. And that is absolutely fantastic. So it's another example of making sure that you're signposting everywhere. But once you've got people in your group, you need to keep them in the group. So a few things to think about there. So my number one golden rule would be to have a regular posting schedule. Now, this can be a little bit awkward at first. It can feel a little bit uncomfortable, but I've created a set, or got my designer to do it, a set of cards for each day of the week. So we have Monday motivation. We have Tuesday tips or tactic. I can't quite remember the right way around it is. We have work-life Wednesday, because a lot of my audience are juggling work with family or other caring responsibilities. Then we have Thursday tip, I think it is. Friday, we have Follow Friday, where I invite people to post up social media accounts that they think need a little bit more love. Then we have Saturday success, which works really well. We get people to share the successes that they've had during the week, and that's very popular. We have Sunday soul food. And we also, on a Sunday now, have Insta Love Sunday. And I'll talk more about that strategy in a second. So the key thing is to have a talking point every day, that a conversation starter, basically. So it's like, you know, going to a cocktail party, and that's your opener. Now, even if you create these cards, and again, you can create these kinds of images in PicMonkey or Canva or a free resource, you will still find when you're just starting that sometimes people don't comment. So you may even have to enlist some of your best friends and colleagues to comment for you. And occasionally, I still do this now. If there's something that I really want to get conversation going on, I'll say to somebody, oh, do me a favor and just comment on that. Will you just get things going? And just be aware that, you know, this might feel a little bit uncomfortable at first, because you might feel a little bit like tumbleweed. You might put something out there and think, oh my God, no one replies. So I would say it's like having a strategy. So you know, when I'm speaking, for example, I would often say to somebody in the audience that I'm going to be asking these questions. If nobody puts their hand up, would you mind asking a question? I think a lot of speakers do that kind of thing. And it's just a way of kind of just having something in place just in case things don't go as you'd like them to. So I think if you put something out there and nobody responds, you can always ask somebody, or you can always G somebody up and ask them to pop on straight away and to make a comment. So that's one thing to think about. The other thing that's really important is to ask questions. So sometimes I just, as well as that daily posting schedule where we have a talking point every day, and I think it's important that people get used to seeing it at a certain time as well. So I use Meet Edgar, the social media scheduling tool, and we generally post them out at 7 during the week and 8 during the weekend. Now, depending on your audience and where you are in the world, you might decide a different time works better for you, which is fine. But I think people do like consistency. So I know that my audience, a lot of them are mums, a lot of them are getting kids ready for school. But, you know, at 7-ish, they'd probably be checking their phone in between, like getting the packed lunches ready or whatever. And that can be a good time to post, but, you know, do experiment. So the other really important thing is to ask questions. So sometimes I will post up a question, like a talking point or something. So maybe something's happened to me in my business, or I've noticed a trend for a particular thing. And sometimes I will just literally post up talking point and ask people what they think about something. And that gets people going. It starts a conversation. Sometimes it's market research. I might post up some artwork for something new I've got coming up, or some copy for a Facebook ad. And people love to give their opinions on stuff. Like if you've got book covers, or you've got some artwork for a project, or you've got some copy, people love, love, love giving their opinions. And obviously it can be quite valuable as well. So remember always to be inviting conversation, and anything you can do where you're asking a question. And again, you might need to sort of tee people up, friends of yours, to jump on and comment initially. And you may need to go through that kind of uncomfortable phase where you're worried, is anybody going to comment? Is this going to bomb? And just be aware that some things will bomb. You might post the odd thing that no one replies to. And this is all part of the learning process, because you will get to know what works best with your group, as I have done with mine. Another way to engage people can be to use Facebook Live. So you can use Facebook's live broadcasting tool. And again, no, habit works really well. If people know that you go live every Wednesday at 2 o'clock or whatever, and then they begin to anticipate and expect that, and that can be a good bit of value. Other things that you can do is you can do polls as well in Facebook groups. So I might sometimes put a poll out and ask people's opinions on a certain issue, or you can run competitions. There's just so many ways to get people engaged. And that really is the key thing about keeping people in your Facebook group, is keeping them engaged and, you know, making it the kind of place where people, it becomes on their to-do list in the morning. So they check Facebook, they check Twitter, and they check your group as well. Or if they see an alert from your group, they immediately want to get in there. And one last thing I want to mention about keeping people in the group, and this is a question people ask me a lot about Facebook groups, is whether or not you need to have any community rules. Now, I don't actually have community rules in mind. I just have like one rule, which is like, ask yourself, are you providing value? And most of the time, I find most people in the group adhere to those rules, absolutely no problem. And it kind of self-moderates itself. And if somebody does post something that's really promotional, then other people kind of tend to jump in and report it. The other thing as well, if you want to stop people being promotional in your group, is to actually provide opportunities for them to promote. So I've got several points in the week where people can promote themselves. So that means they're less likely to just kind of jump on and start promoting a course or program. People still do it, and I'll talk about that in a second. But generally, if people know that there's a day when they can share their Facebook page or they can talk about their Instagram account, then they're less likely to do that spam thing. So I started off just by having Follow Friday, inviting people to share any social media account they wanted more love on. That worked really, really well. People seemed to really appreciate it. Then I introduced Insta Love Sunday, which is a day when people share their Instagram accounts. And the rules of the game, very simple. You just have to post and comment on the person above you, but do more if you can. And most people do more. And having seen how successful that was, I have now introduced a Wednesday Facebook page crawl. And again, it's the same kind of rules where you post your Facebook page, you comment on the person above, and then if you've got time, you go around and comment on a few other people. And people really do appreciate this, and it stops them from spamming. However, although we don't publish this on our page, because I just kind of think most of the time people are adults and they know what to do. So I generally have a policy that if somebody walks straight in the group and posts something promotional, I would generally just remove it. And I find most people get the hint. If they post something up and it's removed, I've never had anybody email me and say, oh, what's happened to my post? Because I think people know what they're doing and they're trying to get away with it. So the second time they do it, we might have a quiet word with them. And the third time they do it, we would just remove them and block them. And it's up to you. It's totally up to you what you want your community rules to be. But I sort of feel like some people need, I was saying this in my group the other day, some people actually need educating when it comes to Facebook groups. So if you've got good Facebook group etiquette, then you probably imagine that everybody else has. But some people, seriously, they just don't know how to behave in a Facebook group. And you actually, you know, part of your job could be explaining why and explaining how to do that. So one really popular piece of content that I've created is episode 68 of this podcast, which is 3 non-spammy ways to promote yourself in Facebook groups. And actually creating that content, I share it every now and again. If I think people are starting to spam in the group, I share that piece of content and people look at it and they comment it and say, oh, yes, you know, some really good advice in there. And then people generally, they stop doing the whole spammy thing, and people will push it. They will say, oh, is it okay to post this? And, oh, you know, I wouldn't normally ask, but it's just this and just that. But I think I've generally created a culture where people don't promote. And if they do, they generally tend to ask me, which is fine. But I tend to think people are adults and really you should let them work this stuff out for themselves and give them chances. Some people really just don't realise that it's not great etiquette just to kind of join a Facebook group and start posting things, and they don't realise that it's bad for their business as well. So as a Facebook community owner, although it might get up your nose, actually, rather than banning them, just a little bit of education might be in order. So I hope I've given you a few ideas there on how to get more people in your group and how to keep them in your group. As ever, I love hearing your ideas. It may well be that there's some things that you do for your group which work really well, and I would love to hear about them. So I'm on janet@janetmurray.co.uk. So do email me. I love hearing from you. Or you can tweet me @jan_murray, or you can find me over on Instagram @janmurrayuk. You've been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, why not come over and join my Facebook group? It's simply the Soulful PR Facebook community, and I'd love to see you there.
You've just been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, she'd really appreciate you leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janetmurray.co.uk for more free content that will help you get media coverage for your business.